we would normally regather with a song. I'm not going to sing for you. We're just going to be seated. I'd love for you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We're going to let those who are being baptized do most of the talking this morning, but I want to introduce baptism to us again. In John chapter 6, our Savior has just fed the masses. He created fish and bread out of nothing, demonstrating that he is in fact God in the flesh, able to provide for his people. But what Jesus was after in John chapter 6 was not a welfare program. It was not a continual free lunch for those who would follow him. In fact, those who had received this miracle and had seen the sign continued to pursue Jesus, in fact, tried to install him as king, and he went away quietly to pray. And they pursued him further, expecting more miraculous free lunches. And they asked, in John chapter 6, verse 26, Jesus says to them, "Truly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, that is, not because you knew that I was God in the flesh and the promised Messiah and the one who could forgive your sins, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father, God, has set his seal." And therefore the people said in verse 28, "What shall we do so that we may work the works of God?" What a remarkable statement this is. For people to have been exposed to God in the flesh, the Savior himself, the one who came to bear away the sins of all who would believe. And their question of Jesus is, okay, what do I have to do? I like what I see here, and it's a really good deal to keep getting free food. What do I have to do to be in? And this is perhaps the response of anyone who at some point in life realizes, I don't have everything that I need. And maybe you're here today and you realize, God is real and I will answer to him and I don't have what it takes to answer to him. I need to clean some things up. I need to get some things right. And you might ask the question that the followers of Jesus were asking here in verse 28. What shall we do so that we may work the works of God? And this is the natural human impulse to man's fundamental problem. God is holy and perfect, and he's just and he's right, and you and I aren't. We sin in our activities because we sin out of our very nature. We do the things that are in keeping with who we are. Every single human being who has ever been born, except for the Lord Jesus Christ, was born a sinner, opposed to God and his ways, who do by nature the very things that displease God and will one day bring about the wrath of God. God will give to each man according to what he has done, and what we have done has been displeasing to him through and through. And the natural human response to the realization that I'm a sinner is, oh my goodness, I need to fix things. I need to start going to church. I need to clean up my life. I need to stop doing this activity. I need to start giving money to the poor. I need to do various things. What are the works of God that I must work in order that I might have eternal life? And the fundamental human impulse is to try to earn what cannot be earned, to try to merit what we could never merit. You see, no amount of doing good things could ever overwhelm all the ways we've offended our Maker. In fact, when we try to do good things, we as humans only bring polluted things, and we create further offense to the one whom we must please. So Jesus' response to this natural human impulse is not, well, let me give you a list of things. Let me give you five pillars. Let me give you 18 works. Let me give you seven sacraments. He doesn't say any of those things. He says, verse 29, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one whom he has sent." That you believe. That is, you trust Jesus. You entrust yourself to Jesus. And with the fuller explanation of the New Testament, we understand that we are to fully trust what Jesus came and did by dying on the cross to pay for sins. You see, Jesus finished work at the cross of being a substitute to pay for the crimes of all who would ever believe is the only hope of salvation for humanity. You can't earn or deserve God's love. It is, in fact, a free gift of His grace to those who believe. Jesus goes on in John chapter 6 to say that no one comes to me except the Father draws him. And what we understand is that simple belief in the finished work of Jesus Christ at the cross is not something that a dead sinner can even produce in and of himself, but is something that God graciously provides as a gift. And if you're here this morning, you're about to hear testimonies of those in whom God has already done this work. And if you're here this morning and this hasn't happened for you, our prayer is that you would believe, that you would surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and simply believe that His death on the cross actually pays for your sins. And by believing, you would have eternal life. These four who are coming this morning, Sharon, Stephanie, Susanna, and Jude, are not coming to be baptized in order to seal the deal of their walk with Christ. They're not coming to be born again. They're not coming to become Christians. They, in fact, already are Christians. They are already born again. The Holy Spirit of God has already done a work in their hearts, and you're going to hear the transforming power of God's grace in their lives. They have believed, and their lives have been transformed. And they are coming to give testimony of that transforming work of God's grace in the waters of baptism. I want to remind us of the truths in Romans chapter 6. Paul there describes what the emblem of baptism signifies. He says that we, Christians, have died to sin. He says in Romans 6:3, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." Immersion into Christ, symbolized by being baptized into water, is a symbol of being buried with Christ, united with Him in His death, and being raised to new life. You see, these four who are being baptized this morning have not cleaned up their act. They've not started getting things worked out. They didn't start cleaning themselves up by going to church or reading their Bible more or do some works or some things. They recognized, each of them, that they were a sinner before a holy God in need of something far more than they could ever produce. Something that was totally alien and foreign to their own abilities. They needed the grace of God to produce faith in Jesus. And belief in Jesus Christ is the vehicle by which God provides a perfect righteousness they could never merit, they could never earn, they could never fix for themselves. Simply a free gift of His grace that guarantees eternal life. So we're going to let them tell you what God has done in their lives.